Isaiah chapter 28. How awful it's going to be for the drunkards of Ephraim. Their glorious beauty is going to be just a fading flower. They are bloated. They're overcome with wine. Look, Yahweh has one who is strong and mighty, and he's going to come like a mighty hailstorm, like a storm of overflowing water. With their hands and feet, those drunks of Ephraim are going to be totally trampled down. And their glorious beauty, which is on their heads, is going to be like a fading flower, like a fig tree that appeared too early before the summer. Whenever someone sees it, he just swallows it up. At that time, Yahweh of hosts will become a glorious crown for the remnant of his people. So, the picture here is of the majority of the people in Israel, or Ephraim, the 10 tribes, being destroyed, being judged, because they were self-indulgent, because they were getting drunk, because they were pretending they were so glorious and beautiful when they weren't. But out of all that, a remnant will repent. So this is the same old theme that you get all the way through the prophets, that a remnant, a minority, are going to repent. And that they repent as a result of all these judgments that have come upon them. And so that is actually really what goes on now, that because people suffer in various ways, they turn to God and they repent and are baptized. And that's how it's going to be in the last days with the people of Israel. So there is a purpose in all these judgments that are to come, that it's not God lashing out in anger, it is so that people repent and change. But it will only be a minority, what is called a remnant. And that's always how it's been, really. Israel were the smallest, really, of all the big nations there in the Middle East. And God doesn't work through great big tribes of people. He works always through a small number of people. And even out of Israel, as Paul says in Hebrews, the majority of those who passed through the Red Sea died in the wilderness. So it's a minority of a minority. So are there few that will be saved? Well, in a sense, yes. In a sense, no. In one sense, compared to the wonder of salvation, all those saved will be as many as the stars in the sky. But in another sense, few people find the way that leads to life. These people who stagger from wine and are reeling from strong drink even include the priests and the prophets. Yes, they are drunk from wine. They reel from strong drink. They stumble when they give their judgments and they do not see their visions clearly. And the altars are even covered with their vomit. This is pretty awful. This is how low they had got, these people. To whom, then, will God teach knowledge? And to whom is he going to explain the message? Is he going to do it to children who have just been weaned from milk, to those just taken away from the breasts? It's do this, do that, do this, do that, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So through the mouths of foreigners and in foreign languages, Yahweh will speak to this people. In other words, they were going to go into captivity and just hear a foreign language that they did not understand. And yet it was to them to whom God had said, "This is your resting place." But they would not listen. So you see, he had given them a resting place there in the land of Israel. He'd given them the chance to be his kingdom, but they didn't want that. But they would not listen, it says. And so all this was so avoidable, going into exile, hearing a language they didn't understand. It was so avoidable. And why did it go like this? Well, next verse. So then, the message from Yahweh became, do this, do that, do this, do that, line upon line, here a little, there a little, so that they fell. They went backward, they were snared and captured. In other words, they looked at the great things of God's law, and they didn't see the spirit of it. They just thought, yep, it's this commandment, I've got to do this or mustn't do that. They didn't see the spirit of it, because God didn't actually want all that kind of legalistic obedience. What he wanted was people to have a relationship with him. But they looked at his word like, oh, all this stuff, line upon line of it. Oh, let's do a little bit here, let's do a little bit there. But that's not how it is, looking at relationship with God like it's a mass of commandments, and I've got to do a bit of this and a bit of that, and oh, what a weariness. And it's because of that attitude that they fell back and that this tragedy happened. Therefore, hear the message from Yahweh, you scoffers who are ruling this people, you scoffers who are in Jerusalem. You have said, we've made a covenant with death, we've made an agreement with the grave, so that when the overwhelming scourge comes through, it will not reach us. We have made lies our refuge. Therefore, this is what Yahweh says. Look, I will lay a foundation stone in Zion, a tested and precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not stumble. So then, who is this precious cornerstone, foundation stone that was to be laid by God in Zion?
Jesus.
That's right, Jesus. So then, these people were saying, yeah, well, okay, we're going to die. So what? We've made an agreement with death. So what? We're just going to get on with our lives. That's what a lot of people think. Ah, yeah, we're sure. We're all going to die. When I die, I shall die, and that's it. But you see, for those who have known God's ways, for those who are responsible to him, it's not quite like that, because they're going to have to be resurrected and judged. It's no good saying, yeah, I've made an agreement with death in my own mind, that, yeah, sure, I'm going to die, don't deny it, but I'm just going to get on, live a good life, live a selfish life. No, he's saying, look, I've got my son, and I have laid him as a precious stone in Zion, and in the end, you're going to have to be judged by him. He goes on, and I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. In other words, yeah, he's going to judge, and you're not just going to get away with it. The hail will sweep away your refuge of lies. Floods of waters will overflow your hiding place. And then your agreement with death and the grave is not going to stand. You are going to be trampled down by the overwhelming scourge. When it sweeps through, it will carry you away. It will sweep you away. But understanding this message is going to bring you to life. Well, I think what that means is that, yeah, you think that you've made an understanding about death, that, yeah, sure, we're all going to die, and so what? No, it's not like that. You're going to come to the day of judgment, and it's not just going to be like that, and you are going to suffer a terrible judgment. Now, okay, the wages of sin is death, and that means that these people are not going to suffer forever. They're not going to be burnt and tortured in fire forever, fair enough. But there is still going to be a terrible judgment. For Yahweh himself will stand upon Mount Perazim. He will arise himself as he did in the Valley of Gibeon to carry out his work, his strange work, and to perform his task. But as for you, do not mock this message, or your chains will become tighter. For I have heard from Yahweh of hosts about this destruction, and it is really going to come. I think that's Isaiah adding his bit there, saying, look, don't laugh at me. Don't tell me that this is nonsense. It's only going to be worse for you. I'm telling you, this is what I heard, and I believe it, and this is what's going to really happen. So he goes on, pay attention, listen to what I have to say. Please pay attention and hear my speech. Again, I think that's Isaiah saying, look, get serious, guys. This is not just me rambling. This is really true. He who ploughs doesn't plough all the time. He doesn't just keep on breaking up the clods in his field. No, when he's ploughed it and levelled it, then he sows seed. He plants wheat in rows, barley in the right place. And his God instructs him regarding the correct way to do this. So I think what he's saying then is that, look, God is going to plough up your land. He's going to level it. But he's doing that because he wants to plant a new seed. And he's going to plant the right seed. And out of all this judgment, as we keep on reading in Isaiah, there is going to come some who repent, some who respond to God's word, which is like the seed, and who will finally enter God's kingdom.